Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. You know, there is a longing in the human heart to want to know. Just to put it bluntly, to want to know. Know what? Just to know. There is something about us as human beings that we have a yearning to know. You know, the Bible says the eyes never see enough. The ears never hear enough. You look in Scripture and, you know, you're always talking to somebody, said, what do you know? And we're always wanting to ask somebody, what do you know? In other words, what do you know new? What type of new information do you have that you can relay on to me? Because in the core DNA of our creative, in our creation that God gave to you and me as human beings, He placed in us a yearning and a wanting to know. When you come to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And you remember Jesus is speaking to them. Their hearts are troubled because there's the wind of something coming in the life of Jesus that is unsettling. There's the wind of something that's going to happen to them that they don't want to happen to Him, but... And you'll read over later in the Gospel of John and in the other Gospels of the death and the burial and the resurrection. But I want you to look in John chapter 14 and listen to what Jesus says in verses 1 through 6. And the title of the message this evening, we're still in a series on truths that transform Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Listen carefully to Scripture. Jesus is speaking, and He's speaking to His disciples, the apostles. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Listen carefully to what Thomas is saying. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Listen carefully to verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In these six verses, Jesus encapsulates in just those six verses the reality that He is going to be going away. But He also reminds the disciples that if He goes away, He's going to come again. As a matter of fact, when you look in verse 3, Jesus is specifically referring to what you and I we know of and have known of as the rapture. In other words, that time that the Lord is going to come for you and me. And when you look at the life of Thomas, Thomas asked Jesus a question. Jesus has been doing the speaking, and in the middle of that verse, in the middle of the discourse, Jesus is asked a question by Thomas. We don't know the way, so how can we know the way? In other words, Thomas asked a question that every human heart has inside of them. How do I know the way? How do I know the right way? And you and I live in a world of so many various religions. It's said that there are at least 7 to 11 different worldviews. That is, people have a view of this world one way as another. There's atheism, there's theism, there's, you know, panism. There's all sorts of beliefs. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to the apostles. And He says, Thomas, I'm telling you, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want you to understand that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the fact is that every one of us has that yearning to know, and there is a hunger inside of humanity, inside of us, to know the way. How do I know the way? How do I know what is the right belief? How do I know what is the right way to believe? How do I know what is the right thing to think? How do I know which is the right way to heaven? How do I know what's the wrong way? And so Jesus is encountering all these questions in the world that Jesus lived in that day and time like ours, a world filled with all sorts of vain imaginations and terrible philosophies and pagan philosophies. But I want you just to notice in verse 6, Jesus simply states in one verse that one verse that you and I have said so many times, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I want you to jot these principles down because you need to know them in a world that is continually pagan and doesn't know the Lord and continually walking away from the Lord. Jesus, who is the Son of God, God in the flesh, he is speaking to Thomas and he says, Thomas, I want you to know and the other disciples to know that I am the way in order that men might be saved. You know, when you hear that word saved literally means there's a need to be rescued. You know, if somebody says, save me, you're not raising a question, you know, as to, you know that something is seriously going wrong. If somebody says, help, save me, you know that they're in danger. And all throughout Scripture, the word saved is used over and over and over and over again because the reality is, every one of us have been lost in a maze of sin. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, every one of us have strayed away like sheep. We who left God's path to follow our own way, we've all gone astray. And Jesus is saying to Thomas, he said, Thomas, I want you to understand that I am the way to be saved. There is only one way of rescue, and that is through Jesus Christ. I love the way the Living Bible puts it. The Bible says, we've strayed, everyone, all of us like sheep. We who left God's path to follow our own. Every one of us have strayed to follow our own path. One of the realities of the world that you and I live in is there is a continual belief that there's more than one way to be saved. There is a billboard that has just come out recently. It said, don't believe in God, join the club. There is a world of people who don't believe in God. There is a world of people who don't believe in the God that you and I serve. But Jesus is saying to the early disciples who were on the face of this earth about 2,000 years plus, he's saying to them, he said, I want you to know, I want you to understand that I am the only way to be saved. There is no other rescue out of this life into an eternity with holy God apart from Jesus Christ. And you see the express purpose for the Son of Man, the Bible says, he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. You needed rescued because you was lost in a maze of sin, and so was I. And Jesus said to Thomas, he says, I want you to know that I am the way to be saved. You know, the Bible makes it clear, Christ is the only way to be saved. Now, there are a whole lot of beliefs about how to be saved. You can talk to somebody, and I guarantee you, you go down these streets and you can find out a lot of different ways to be saved. How do you say? Well, you do the best you can. You live the best life you know how to live. You don't kill nobody. You don't steal. It's amazing all the different answers that you'll get. You know, and it's a popular doctrine. As a matter of fact, if liberalism had its way, it would say that, you know, the way to salvation is charity. You just do good things and do good deeds. You help other people out. That's the way to be saved. If materialism had its way, it said, well, you just help poor people, help the poor, feed the poor, do good things for the poor, those who are disadvantaged, those who don't have anything to do with, those who don't have any help. You help them out financially. And some in the religious realm would say, well, you know, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to make it to heaven, then here's all you have to do. You know, you just have to, you know, do good works, you know, follow certain rites, follow certain sacraments, follow certain this and follow certain that. Jesus is saying to Thomas, as well as all the other disciples, I want you to know that I am exclusively the way to be saved. Why is it that we do everything we can to share the gospel with people? We have missionaries, about 5,000 on foreign fields. We have 5,000 home missionaries. We have people all over the state of Kentucky to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because Jesus himself says there is no other way unto heaven whereby a person can be saved except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of folks that won't believe it. There's a lot of folks that refuse to believe it. But folks, the facts still are the facts, will remain the facts, and will forever be the facts of holy God. There is no way to be saved except by Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus said, I am the only way. He said, anybody else that tries to come up any other way, they're like a thief, they're like a robber. They're not going to enter into heaven. You and I are going to find there's going to be a massive amount of people that are not going to enter heaven. And Jesus is saying to those early disciples, whatever you do, don't get sidetracked with those other peripheral things that believe that there's another way of salvation. We are all going to die someday. We're all going to leave this world and this world someday. And the only thing that matters, the ultimate thing that matters, is what did you do with Jesus the Christ? And so Jesus said to Thomas, he said, I want you to know that I am the only way to be saved. But he also made it clear. He said, I am the open way to be saved. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 6. I am the way. I am the way. Way means direction. You know, way means movement. Jesus didn't just say, I am the pathfinder. He said, I am the path. You know, he's done all that's necessary that you and I could have eternal life. And, you know, many will reject him. Many will refuse to believe him. But the facts are the facts. Christ remains the only open way. And he doesn't refuse anyone that would come to him. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he eternal life. Gave them the privilege to become the sons and daughters of God and gave them eternal life. So when Jesus says to Thomas, he said, I want you to know that I am the way. He said, I am the way to be saved. I am the only way to be saved. And second of all, he says, I am the truth in order that men might be sure. You know, have you ever stopped to think? I asked Charlotte on the way up here. I said, have you ever wondered what you wouldn't know if you didn't have the Word of God? Have you ever stopped to think the things you would not know if you didn't have the Word of God, didn't have the Bible, didn't have God's Word to tell you? I listened this morning as Dr. Chitwood talked about the belief of the Hindus along the Ganges River and their belief in a God somehow that would rescue their family and friends, and if they offered their friends on the banks of the Ganges River in order that their spirits would somehow float into the skies, so to speak, and somehow in mystic fashion take them to heaven. Jesus makes it very clear. Listen to what he says. He says, I am the truth. Now, how do you know truth? Well, listen to what Jesus said. He said, if you want to know truth, I am truth. I am the very embodiment of truth. Truth is not a principle. Jesus said, I am truth. Truth is always a person. Jesus said, if you want to look at truth, I am the very embodiment of truth. The Bible makes it very clear. And when you think about the truth, you know, one of the great thinkers of years gone by, Aristotle, made a very interesting statement. He said, mind as it came from its maker is organized for truth. Have you ever noticed you want to know the truth, but you don't want to know the truth? Let me give you an example. How much you want to know the truth, but you don't. You say, well, you know what? I want to weigh, but I don't want to weigh. I want to get on the scales, but I don't want to get on the scales. And so you put that one little foot on there first, and then you get up and put the other scale. You put your hands over your eyes, and you don't really want to look at it. But then you take your hands off your eyes, and you look for just a second so you can see, because there is something inside of us that we want to know the truth. The Bible says that God has created you and he has put inside of you that yearning, that desire. And he rightly said it. You know, think about it. What would you not know if you didn't have the Word of God? Jesus said, I am the truth. If you want to know who God is, look at me. If you want to know about life, look at me. If you want to know what hope there is in life, look at me. Jesus said, I am truth. In other words, You wonder if there's a loving God? Look at me. Because Jesus was and is God in the flesh. He was not just a human being. He was God incarnate, meaning God in the body of a human being. That is one of the greatest mysteries. When you read theologians trying to explain the Trinity, it is amazing, because sometimes they bog your mind. I heard one person say it like this. You try to explain the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. You try to explain it away, you'll lose your soul. Jesus said, I am the truth. There is inside of us a yearning to know the truth. Think about it. How would you know God is a good God if you didn't have the Word of God? And that's what Jesus said. I am the very embodiment of truth. I came that you could know the truth. You could know there's a heaven. You could know there's a paradise. You could know there's good things that the Father in heaven wants to give to you. You look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus makes it very clear. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. How do we know that God in heaven loves us? Because the truth, Jesus Christ, has revealed it to us. And God has revealed it through his prophets. God has revealed it through his pages of his word and through his Old Testament prophets. You know, without God's word, you wouldn't know how you could be forgiven. Sometimes when I'm just reading the beliefs of other cultures, Shintoism, Confucianism, and some of the others, it is intriguing. And they come with these beliefs in some sort of fashion, but they don't have the Word of God as their compass. They don't have the Word of God as a guide. And so they're filtering their life through their belief system. You know, we know what type of God we have because Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When Jesus uttered these words, he wasn't only speaking of himself, but he said, I am the very embodiment of truth. I speak the truth, and everything that comes from my Father is truth. You know, there is a yearning in our heart to know the truth. Jesus said, I am truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And then thirdly, I am the life, in order that men might be strong. I am the way that men might be saved. I am the truth that men might be sure. And Jesus said, I am the way that men could be strong. You know, Jesus said, I came that you could have life. It's interesting that Jesus didn't say, I came that you could exist. He didn't say that. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But how do you have abundance of life? Sometimes I'll ask somebody who am I counseling, I'll try to just ask them, I said, how do you think you have life? How do you have abundance in life? How do you reach happiness in life? And they'll give you all sorts of answers. But here's the greatest need you and I have. We have the need for our sins to be forgiven. You know, you ask somebody, what's your greatest need? The greatest need you had was for your sins to be forgiven and cast on the person of Jesus Christ, and you'd receive the free gift of salvation. You remember when that happened? You remember when you invited Jesus Christ into your life, and it was a different day. Sky was bluer, grass was greener, or however you describe it in your terminology, because there was something different about your life. There was something different about your soul. There was something different about your outlook in life, because that day you knew. You knew it was a different day because you had experienced a life that you had never experienced before, because you had experienced the transcendent, the wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. I am come that men might have life and have it abundantly. He didn't say I come that you could exist. You know, life begins with the forgiveness of sins. You know, don't begin with you trying to do the best you can. It begins with the forgiveness of your sins. The day you invited Jesus Christ into your life was the day you really began to live. You know that. And Jesus said, I didn't come to lay guilt on the world, but to free the world. I didn't come to penalize the world, but that to forgive the world. There's no abundance apart from forgiveness. Think about this a minute. The desire of God the Son. He said, I am come, Thomas, that you can have truth, that you can know the way, that you can have life. And I am that way. I am that truth. I am that life. Never once did Jesus say, I've come that you could have religion. Never once did Jesus say that. You know why? Because there's a million things in the world that's a religion. The agnostic has a religion. The atheist has religion. The person who is, believes in all sorts of things, the pantheist, he's got a religion. The Muslims have a religion. Jesus didn't say, I come that you could have a religion. Jesus said, I come that you could have a relationship with me, that you could know what real life is all about. Henry Stanley, you may never have heard of him. You may never have even seen his books in the name in the history books. But you probably have heard of one that he traveled with. Henry Stanley was a man who found David Livingstone in the deep part of Africa. And in the deep part of Africa, he traveled with Dr. Livingstone. And here's a quote that he shares when he came to know Dr. Livingston. I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London, but there came for me a long time for reflection. Listen to what he says. I saw this solitary old man there and asked myself, how on earth does he stop here? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him? Then he said, for months after that, I found myself wondering about what he talked about the Bible. I saw a man who left all things to follow Jesus. He said, I saw a man who showed sympathy, who showed kindness, who showed compassion. He said, I was converted, though he didn't try to convert me. Listen to what Jesus said. I am life. I'm not a way to live only. I am life. Whoever follows me, there is a life that overflows inside him or her. And sometimes it's inexpressible and unexplainable. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me sometimes, and sometimes I do it in private. Sometimes you got to shout in you and you just got to let it out. You know why? Because there is something happens down deep inside of you from time to time, and you're just so filled with the goodness of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the one who gives you the energy. I'm the one who gives you the strength. I'm the one who gives you the vitality. I am the one who is there. And you see, he said, I'm not only abundant life, but I'm triumphant life. You know, the Bible says in John 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Here's the reality. Sin and holiness can never stay long in the same place. If you long to be truly happy, then there is a yearning to be holy. If there is a longing to be happy as God wants you to be, there is that longing to be holy. And you see, Paul knew that kind of life. Listen to what he says. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. You remember he said in Romans chapter 12, he said, don't be conformed to this world. All this world wants to do is conform you and get it to fit into its, he said, but be transformed. What do you mean, Paul? The more you think on the things of God, the more your mind is transformed. He said, don't be conformed, but be transformed. How, Paul? By the renewing of your mind. Let your mind think on the things of God. Think on the Word of God. Think on the truths of God. Thomas said to Jesus, said, how do we know the way, Jesus? Thomas, in a world that's going to deny me, reject me, ostracize me, and ostracize you, you never forget, Thomas, these words. I and I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No one will go to heaven. No one will enter paradise. No one will have their sins forgiven. No one will know the love of God apart from the very personal work of Jesus Christ. And you see, if you try to just be religious, if you try to do what you can, if you try to do 1,000 things except following Jesus, and you see, that's it in a nutshell. You know, all you and I have to do is follow our master. I think of what I heard Henry Blackaby say one time. He said, it dawned on me what it meant to follow Jesus one time when a man gave him directions to his house. He said, well, Brother Blackaby, when you go out into the country, you'll come to a big oak. You turn left at that big oak, and you'll go about 2.5 miles, and then you'll see a big old stump, and you turn right at that stump. And you'll bear back around right, and you keep on going about 3.5 miles. And he said, I finally got there. But then he said, one day he was with me. And here's what he said. He said, just listen to me and follow me. And as Henry Blackaby listened to the man's directions, he took him in another way. He said, all I did was one thing. I listened because he was my way. You know what? There's a world that's telling us it's got all the answers in the world. There's a world that's saying, this is the way, this is the way, this is the way. But you and I need to get back to the very basics and realize the truth that transforms our life, transforms our thinking, transforms our way of life is getting back to this realization. Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter where you lead me because you're my roadmap all through life. And it's amazing where you'll find yourself. It's amazing what God will do in your life when you listen to Him and let Him be your way, your truth, and your life. Father, we thank you so much for your truth. We thank you so much for what you have to say to us through your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, as you speak to us and have spoken to us through your word, that we'll ever be mindful that you're the way. You're not a way, you're the way. You're not a truth, you're the truth. Everything must be filtered through you. And Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, as we live our lives, that we would covenant afresh to walk in your ways, to walk in your truth, is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.